singing. Amen. Good. Good, good. Thank God for His unchanging hand. When you found it, please stand. Luke 9, verse number 1. I know what time it is. Amen. I'll just give you a point. Give you a point. We'll go to the house. Amen. Come back tonight and I'll give you, we'll blow it out. I'm telling you, if I could get the point two, the way it is in here right now already, so thick, if I could make it to point two, God help, friend. They'd catch us over at Jordan ourselves somewhere. Shouting on the banks, amen. Looking for John the Baptist or something. Looking for another dove to send down on Jesus, amen. Luke 9, verse 1. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he said unto them, take nothing for your journey, neither staves nor scrip, neither bread, neither money, neither have two coats apiece. Whatsoever house ye enter into, there abide and thence depart. Whosoever will not receive you when you go out of that city, shake off the very dust from your feet for a testimony against them. And they departed and went through the towns preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. Father, thank you for your goodness. God, thank you for the sweet Spirit of God. Thank you for a tangible move, God, something we can feel. Thank you for being so sweet and so sincere. God, for always being faithful. Lord, thank you for the good singing. I pray that it came, Lord, to heaven as an incense of a sweet-smelling savor. God, I pray that you touch me, make preaching easy. Give us just a few minutes. God, may we expound, Lord, what you put in our heart. May God, we do nothing that you'd not want us to do, but God, may we give help here this morning. God, I pray, Lord, for the one sitting, God, in our midst, or two or three, whatever it may be, God, that are lost. God, to them this may seem a little ridiculous, for we do understand the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. But God, if you'd be so kind. Oh, that this might be the day you enlighten their mind and their heart of the glorious, wonderful things of God. Oh, that if they be saved, while they be rejoicing in heaven, we also on earth will rejoice that another sinner has came to repentance. Bless the preached word. Thank you, Lord, for the read word. Help us again, we pray and ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Verses 1 and 2, you'll find the commission of the disciples. Verse 1, then he called his 12 disciples together, and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. Boy, that's be kind of nice sometime in these days. They got some claim in those things, but this is a touch of God that was put on His apostles for that time, and we understand that. While God can still heal the sick, it's not done by the touch of a man. Say, man, these were literally given what some try to pretend that they have today. Say, man. And he sent them, first of all, notice he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Verse number 6, they departed and went through the towns preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. He commissioned the disciples, I like first of all to preach, amen. More important than, hey, if you come in here sick today, if you came in with an infirmity, we'd like to think that we could pray. Touch God. I told Brother Danny, we was talking between Sunday school, and the preaching hour that we have not because we ask not. And I believe there's a lot of things happening like that this day and time, but more important than if you were physically sick and needed something for your physical self, I'd be more concerned about your spiritual dwelling, where you're suspended between heaven and hell on this place that God calls earth for in. We still need old-timey God-seeing Holy Ghost, that fundamental preaching, in the old-time power saturated, in the Holy Ghost, somebody that's been along with God. And I believe while the healing of a man's hand is now far past and no longer of the day that we live in, and if God heals, it'll be done by God touching that man. God still chose the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And we still need preaching. Amen. Amen. In this time, it was sundry times in divers manners. God spoke to us in divers ways, different ways. But now in these last days, He's revealed Himself to us through His Son and through the holy, inerrant, infallible Word of God. Here He commissioned them, sent them to go. We've all been commissioned. I'm working on Wednesdays on this, so I won't spend a lot of time. We've all been commissioned to go. Say amen. Go ye therefore into all the world. We are to go. Say amen. There's the commission of the disciples in 1 and 2. I want to get my title, if nothing else. In verse number 3, and He said unto them, take nothing for your journey, neither staves nor scrip, neither bread, neither money, neither have two coats apiece. While we've seen the commission of the disciples, now notice the confidence in the deity. He was saying, put all your trust in me. Don't take it. You don't need your shoes, or you don't need an extra scrip or a stave, or you don't need another coat. All you need to do is take the bare necessities and trust me. And I promise you, friend, is everybody listening? Look up here for just a minute. If God said He'll do it, honey, He'll still get the job done. He's never backed out on one of His promises. He's never failed one time. He's never slipped or slumbered. I'm telling you, if we got a God that says you won't need it, I'll take care of you. I don't know how He'll do it. If He has to take from the hand of the enemy, you can rest assured, my God, we'll see you through. Same God that divided the Red Sea is the same God that'll look after you. The same God that knows the very hair on your head, knows them by number, takes care of the sparrows, and has consider the lily. Good news, good news. He'll take care of you. We are to have all confidence in Him, in the deity of Christ. He is not mere man. He is not merely, you know, that woman at the well. First she called Him sir. Then she perceived He was a prophet. He was more than a mere man. He was more than a mere prophet. Are you feeling what I'm feeling right now? But when she said, when Messiah's come, don't you know it was a happy day in her life when she found out the Messiah had come. When she ran into the city and said, come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Don't you know we serve a God that knows all about our past? But if we'll come to Him heavy laden with sin and cast our care upon Him and give Him our heart, our soul, and our life, aren't you glad He'll save us, forget our past, and make us a new creature? It's putting our trust in Him as deity, as Lord. He is not just man, prophet, but He is the Savior. He is God in the flesh.
For the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Aren't you glad the Word was robed in flesh that He might be touched with even our infirmities? That He is tempted even as we're tempted, but yet without sin. He's still God.
Amen. We are to trust Him. Our confidence is not in Wall Street. Our confidence is not in Washington. Our confidence is not in our wallet. It's not in what we have or what we want. Our confidence has been dropped into the very lap of Almighty God. If we'll put our trust in Him, honey, I'm happy to report this morning that He still takes care of His youngins. He's not orphaned one yet. He's not lost one yet. He's not had one kidnapped yet. He takes care of His youngins.
Amen. I'm not some second-rate step-youngin friend. Amen. I am a son of God. Amen. Amen. I felt real good on that. I'm happy to report I am a child of the King.
Amen. In verse number 4, the contact is developed. And whatsoever house ye enter into, there abide and thence depart. There was a place as they went through these cities, and God had told them, knock on their doors if they receive you in. And you stay right there. You don't leave until it's time to leave the city. Therefore, say, preacher, why? Well, you remember over there when Saul was looking for his daddy's asses, looking for them donkeys. You remember that? And he had his servant with him. Saul, the son of Kish, was running around trying to find them donkeys. He said, well, we don't know what else to do. We can't find them. Brother Roy, that old servant, looked at him and said, well, there he is in this city, a man of God. And I tell you something, sometimes you don't know where else to go. You don't know where else to turn to. You pray, you don't know if you're getting through. You ain't heard anything. It seems like heaven's shut up as brass. But aren't you glad that you know where God's man is? Hey, man. Hey, God help. I'm going to tell you, friend, there's been times in my life I needed somebody to touch God for me. I didn't know if I was getting through anymore. I'd call my preacher up. And in a humble way, he'd get on his face before God and talk to God for me. There's been times in his life he's called me brokenhearted and discouraged and didn't know if he could get through. He said, preacher, please get in touch with God for me. It's a happy day when you find out that in the city you're living in, there is a man of God who can get in touch with heaven, heaven now and then.
Samuel was there for him. Oh, glory. God told him, you stay right there. That way when the word gets out, you're out beating down them doors. Oh, they just split a little church in somebody's house, having college prayer meeting every night, preaching the gospel and healing the sick. Thank God, friend, when you make a contact with somebody, when you fall in love with somebody, and they love you, and they receive you, they recognize you as God's man, then the power of God can fall on a community. The power of God can fall on a village and on a town, and the gospel can get out.
Verse number 5, and whosoever will not receive you, when you go out of that city, shake off the very dust from your feet for a testimony against them. Here, we find the condemning by the dust.
Shake it off. Say amen. Amen. Paul shook his raiment at him and said, your blood be on your own head. Say amen. Them won't hear you. Those that won't receive you. Those don't like that old-timey fundamental preaching. Them don't like it in the old-time way. Them that won't hear it, those that won't receive you, won't receive God's word from you. That's all right, son. You just keep preaching. Shake the dust off your feet. Shake it off, friend. Right in their face. That they know, well now, you've heard the gospel. Your blood's off my hands. Your blood's on your own head. If you go to hell now, it won't be my fault. I've stood here. I've been faithful. I preached in this community. I preached in this church. They knew there was a beacon over there on the hillside. They knew a lighthouse had been planted. And you stayed true and faithful and kept on preaching. If they go to hell now, son, it's not your fault. Amen. Did not say that those folk would ever receive another chance. You sitting here this morning, you've heard the gospel. Praise God, you can be saved today. Amen. There may come a time God tells me to shake the dust off my feet over you, and you'll never be saved by the good grace of God. Amen. Look in verse number 3. And he said unto them, take nothing for your journey. Now I know he's talking about physical things with his staves and his scrip, the bread and the money. He was showing God's men that they had to learn to depend on God and lean on God and God's people to take care of him. Amen. I understand that. But I told you what I just told you to show you that I understand what the 6 verses I read are relating to. But I will not be doing the text any harm or taking it out of context. For I had preached on one word and got the job done. But I'm interested in them 5 words. Take nothing for your journey. I want to preach with the Lord's help for just a few minutes on taking nothing for your journey. Say amen. God help, I'm liking this. Why, preacher, do I not need anything? Well, for nothing else, we've come too far to look back now. Amen. Can I say, number one, the faithfulness of the Lord is reason enough to not exchange one thing for what He's given us. And I say, I'm not for sale. I'm not to be bought. I'm not selling out my standards and backing up on what I believe or quitting for one person, friend or enemy. We don't have to separate ties or break fellowship. But what I believe God's put in my heart, it's going to take something more than a mere man to pull it out of me. Amen. Can I say, though, in my failures, my God has always remained faithful. Whoop. Amen. The Bible said over in Corinthians, for God is faithful. To the church at Thessalonica, they said, who is faithful? Ain't nobody like Jesus. My Lord has always been faithful. God help friend. I said He's always been faithful. He's never let me down. I've not bumped into anybody that can say He ever let him down. They might question what He done sometime. Oh, but they can't say let him down. All things work to the good, for the good of those that love the Lord. I may not understand everything He's doing. I may not understand how He's going to get it done. But I'm glad to know that He's faithful enough. Hallelujah. And still got the power, friend, to do whatever it is He said He was going to do. Amen. You say why you believe He's so faithful. I believe He's faithful because the Lord's mindful of sinners. That may not excite you, but I'm feeling real good on it right now. I said He's mindful of sinners. Hey, man, are you hearing me? David said, I'm poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh on me. I was always on His mind. The Bible said the Lord knoweth them that are His. To knoweth them means He always knew them. Amen. The psalmist said, what is man that thou art mindful of him? I don't understand it. I can't comprehend it. It goes far beyond my carnal mind. But I'm sure happy to know this morning that God looked out on me and saw me as a sinner on my way to hell and took mind of me. God help, can you get a hold of that? Oh, friend, I said you were always on His mind. He did, even though, Brother Mike, you were a sinner in a horrible pit, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel. God help a Gentile dog, a heathen, a drunkard. Oh, but none of this mattered to him. He looked out and seen Mikey and knew that one day he was going to make you a child of a king. If that don't excite you, can I take you back to the hell you was living in? Can I take you back to the streets you was a strung out on? Can I take you to a time that you didn't know God? But good news, friend, He always knew you. Amen. He didn't wake up one morning and say, I'd like to know who that is. Oh, no, no. Before there was a Garden of Eden, before the mud ball was ever spun into existence, my God looked out and saw us and knew and desired us. He was mindful of us. But God commended His love toward us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. I like that. We were yet without strength. Does everybody hear me? We were weak and frail. Oh, we were helpless and without hope. We were yet without strength. Christ died for the ungodly. Oh, I didn't go to save the righteous. He didn't come for that. Oh, but He came to call sinners, sinners to repentance. He's mindful. Oh, ain't that exciting to know? God's mindful of you. Oh, amen. He's mindful. God help, I'm about to leave here, friend. Amen. Remember that old boy got baptized after he got saved over there? Acts chapter number 8. That eunuch, that Ethiopian eunuch, Philip. And he asked Philip, said, does this man speak of himself or of another man? Whoop! God help. He began to preach unto him Jesus. Ah! Oh, that old eunuch was on his mind after he got saved. And he went down there in the water and he baptized him, the two of them together. God help, I'm telling you, the Spirit of God come across. Hallelujah. They caught Philip down the road somewhere. I feel like taking a run myself. Because I'm so glad God's mindful of me. Amen. Boy, he's faithful. Amen. He's faithful. He's faithful. We've seen it in the fact that the Lord's mindful of sinners, but also in the fact that the Lord's meaningful steps. Let me tell you something, friend. I'm feeling real good right now. You don't have to believe in the virgin birth. You can go to hell. Amen. Isaiah said, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son. He shall be called Emmanuel." I like that over in Matthew 1. When we find Mary, she was with a child of the Holy Ghost. God promised in chapter 3 of Genesis in the 15th verse that it'd be a seed of a woman. Didn't say anything about a man, but it was a seed of a woman that bruised the serpent's head with his heel. Oh, these are right meaningful steps. I'm talking about the faithfulness of our Lord. It had to be the seed of a woman. And when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. Amen, right there. It's a meaningful step. He did not bypass the womb of the virgin, but He is the virgin born child of God. Amen. We have not an high priest cannot be touched with our infirmities. I like that. Hebrew writer said, "For He was tempted like us in all points, yet without sin." Oh, Brother Reuben, if we're going to see the steps, we must understand He was without sin. Amen. Hello. They say, "Well, when he's a little boy, he probably told a little white lie." No. But they say they found a new gospel. The gospel according to Thomas. God help him, he believes it's him. I don't want that gospel, say man. Oh, I'm going to tell you, this thing has come together. God put the Word of God together. He said it'd be the perfect sacrifice. And I say, our Lord walked 33 years and never sinned. Amen. Boy, there has to be the merciful sacrifice. Oh, imagine if you can. A spot without a lamb without spot or blemish. In the Passover lamb, Miss Pam, it had to be a lamb of the first year. Had to be without spot. Couldn't have a spot on it anywhere. Couldn't have a bruise or a scrape. Had to be a perfect lamb. Oh, they'd even take that lamb. Brother Roy, they'd watch it walk. They'd make sure no hip was out of joint. No hoof was turned in. In other words, they'd watch it every step it ever made. They'd bring him to the house on the 10th day of the first month. They'd take that little lamb and they'd look over it. They'd inspect it. And they'd take care of it. And you know, as I know, if you got any children at your house, and you bring a little animal in, Oh, and in a day or two, definitely by the fourth day, everybody loves that little pet. Well, if I was to have little Caden, little Ashley in my house, and I'd bring a little lamb in there and let it play with them and be around them. Oh, they'd love that lamb. His hip's not a lamb that walked funny. His hip had not been dislocated. For bone was never broken. His hoof was not turned in. There was not a spot of blemish. Every step he ever made was right. And don't you know he was the only one that could have been the premier merciful sacrifice when he gave himself on Calvary's cross. Nobody else could have took his place. Songwriter said they searched through heaven and couldn't find one willing to go. My hind leg, there wasn't but one that could go. I said there wasn't but one that could go. He was a merciful sacrifice. God help our country. In 1776, became free. Amen. 33 years ago, we celebrated the 200th anniversary of that. But this year, yeah, boy, we celebrate now. 1976 years ago, God help. The most merciful thing that ever happened. For men were once bound in the sins and chains. Thank God our freedom was bought at Calvary. You're looking at a man once in prison, slave to sin, but now has been set free because of the faithfulness of the Lord. Imagine angels perched over, looking over the earth, for he could have called legions of angels. But yet, he was the merciful sacrifice. Boy, we see the faithfulness of the Lord. One more little quick thought, we'll go. Amen. There's the Lord's miraculous Sunday. About this on the way here this morning. In Genesis 3, it was a garden he made. Is that right? In Matthew 26, it was a garden where he prayed. John chapter number 19, it was a garden where he was laid. Whew. But wow, God help, ain't that good? While he was laid in one tomb out in the garden there, hewn out of stone of one Joseph of Arimathea. When it was the dawning of the first day of the week, here come Mary Magdalene, the other Mary, and several other ladies coming to put some spices and ointment if they could find somebody to roll the stone away. They had prepared for something. But he had prepared for something else. I once said, why did he have to use a borrowed tomb? Well, friend, if you're just staying for the weekend, ain't no sense in buying one. I want you to know When ladies got there, they did not find a stone in front of the scepter, but they found the stone had been rolled away, for he got up! He got up!
Ah, the place of Gethsemane, where he went a little further. Amen. He knew he had to go a little further. This wasn't going to be enough. The place of Gabbatha, the judgment seat in the Hebrew tongue, it was Gabbatha, but to us it's the pavement. The place where he stood and was judged. Oh, and then Golgotha, the darkest place ever been on earth. Good news, friend. There's still a garden day. God help. They say, the Bible says over in the book of John, that Mary thought she had mistaken him for the gardener. But then he said, Mary. Don't you know, ever since that morning, 1976 years ago, he's been calling each one of us by name. Oh, we may have mistaken him for something or somebody else. Oh, but when he says our name, I said when he says our name, thank God, friend, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey. Yeah, I've come too far because of the faithfulness of the Lord. I wouldn't take nothing for it. I wouldn't take a thing. Hey, man, it's been worth every mile. It's been worth every trial. It's been worth every valley we walk through. Are y'all feeling what I'm feeling? Hey! Aren't you glad the Lord's faithful? I'm not trading in what I've got. I don't need staves or scripts, bread or money. Neither do I even need two coats. I wouldn't take nothing for what I've already got. And if he don't ever do another thing for me, he's done much more than enough. Thank God for the faithfulness of the Lord. Let's stand our feet, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah to God.